Hi, you get second happy hour quick shot this week, along with Trump history and all that fun stuff. So, Andrew, today's topic, we were talking about this the other day, we thought it would be fun to talk about. Is this the deepest Saints roster since 2013 in the sense of they might be able to absorb all this these disastrous injuries because they're deep and they're not going to have a bunch of UDFAs making the roster and, God forbid, playing?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I do this exercise. Now, first of all, let me start by saying, you know, there's a lot of sites out there that says the Saints have kind of the worst talent or the least depth in the NFL, or, you know, they're kind of in the bottom half of the league. And I agree with that from the sense that they're not very top heavy. Like, if you were to ask me what stars they have, I'd say, obviously, besides Breeze, you know, I'd say Cam Jordan is maybe knocking on the door and Mike Thomas is knocking on the door, but I would say neither of them are NFL stars. You know, they're close. And then I would say no one else. I mean, you could argue maybe Morstead, but he's a punter. Maybe Armstead, but he's hurt. So, you know, there's a couple guys that are fringe stars, but I don't think the Saints roster is very top heavy. I don't think they have a lot of, like, superior talent. But I always do this exercise every year going into camp where I look at the 90-man roster. And most years I do it, there's between 25 and 30 guys that I look at where I'm like, this guy's not making the team. And there's always a few surprises. There's your Aesop Zulkaduses. There's your, you know, Ken Crawleys or whatever, where guys that you don't expect to make the team kind of come out of nowhere and make it, either thanks to injury or surprise at camp or special teams ability, whatever. So there's always some surprises that I don't expect. But for the most part, when I kind of carve out those 25, 30 names, and I'm like, yeah, these guys aren't making it, most of the time I'm right. It's about 90, 95%. So, you know, you can, if you look at the roster, and most fans can do this if they know enough about the players, you can pretty much bring it down to 60 and say, like, yeah, these 10 guys are basically battling for three spots. You know, and you pretty much know even before camp starts. Yeah. And then injuries change things and whatever. But so this year, kind of doing that same exercise, I can only really count like 10 to 12 names. There's a lot of just either guys coming back from injury, guys that have been in the NFL, guys that have done it. There's really 10 to 12 names. There's a lot less UDFAs on the team this year, on this 90-man roster than in the past. And there's only 10 to 12 guys where I'm like, yeah, this guy's not making a team, definitively. And otherwise, I mean, so I just think there's a higher percentage of guys that have been in the NFL that have done it that I can't discount.
Yeah, and here's the thing that I always say, and I argue with media people and fans, it's like, look, I know you think, oh my God, 8 UDFAs made the Saints 53-man roster. We found 8 diamonds. We're so good at finding UDFAs. No. What that means is your roster is garbage, yeah, and the bottom half is populated with undrafted guys because, one, you don't draft guys well, see 2014 draft of the Saints, so you have all these spots, and UDFAs, you should have, like, 2 really good UDFAs a decade. You have, like, Pierre Thomas, and, like, they don't come, like, you're not going to find 2 and 3 and 4 guys of those a year, because if they existed, NFL teams would have fucking picked them, you know?
Yeah, every once in a while, there's a guy that, like, a Pierre Thomas, or, like, or Lance Moore, where, like, he ends up being way better than you expected. But for the most part, the ones that make the team, like, for the most part, if a bunch of UDFAs are making the team, that's a really bad sign of your roster depth.
Yeah. And that's what I said, you know, not Nick Underhill, friend of the podcast, we love him. I argued with him a lot in, I think it was 2015, where the Saints, they had Richardson and Yule, and I think one other UDFA made the team on the defensive line, and they were going to play starting the first week, and I was like, this is bad, this is so bad, this is so bad. And they're like, no, they're the best players, and that means they're found in the guts. I'm like, I understand that it's the best they've got. I'm not going to argue that with you. I'm telling you, it's a problem when you got 3 UDFAs in your rotation on the defensive line. you know?
Yeah, and a perfect example last year is when you had Devonta Harris and Ken Crawley playing early in the year in games that mattered, and Ken Crawley basically single-handedly lost them the Raiders game, and then Devonta Harris single-handedly lost them the Atlanta game, pretty much with that ridiculous fumble.
Don't forget the Giants game too.
Yeah, but so that's the deal when you put those guys out there in early in the season and their UDFAs, like those are the kind of mistakes they make because what they really should be is on the practice squad learning instead of in the game fucking things up for your team. But you know, so an interesting like a microcosm position example that I would give of this. If you look at tight end, there's five guys at tight end. Usually they only keep three, but you look at, so Kobe Fleener is your starter, then you've got Josh Hill and Hooman, who are both coming back from injury. Then you've got Clay Harbor, who, I mean, he's been in the league like 8 years. He's produced more in the NFL than any of the guys I just mentioned, except maybe Fleener. But Harbor has been in the NFL for a long time. He's done it. And then, you know, you have John Phillips, who's been on the team the last couple of years and is a pretty good blocker. And, you know, I can't say for sure that he's going to get cut. So, I mean, that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. You've got five veteran tight ends in the mix, and I really don't know who the number two is. Like, it could be Hill, it could be Hooman, it could be Harbor.
They're going to cut a guy that's going to play in the league this year. Because they'll cut one of those tight ends. They'll cut a guy, and a team might not pick him up at the beginning of the year, but like if they cut Phillips, like Phillips will play in the NFL because some team will be decimated at tight end by injury and say, let's get Phillips, he plays for the Saints, he can be okay. You know?
And linebacker is another position where there's kind of a logjam. Like, do they have world, and none of those tight ends I just mentioned are world beaters, you know, but they're NFL quality. And that's the point I'm trying to make here is if you look at linebacker, there's a chance that Ellerby or Manti Te'o or Stephon Anthony, one of those guys might get cut. If they do, there's a decent chance they're going to be on a different NFL roster this year. So that to me is the difference is there's a bunch of guys that, you know, I would not necessarily call them super talented, but they are NFL quality, and they might have to cut a couple guys like that that are NFL quality that will end up playing for other teams, and that's a good sign of depth.
I hate to ask you this question since we were so excited about the depth on the offensive line that we raised about it, and then it got hit with the play. What other position could the Saints realistically absorb a couple of injuries? And you wouldn't be happy, obviously, but you'd be like, maybe they could figure out a way to be okay. But what's the deepest position now the Saints have?
I may change my opinion about this answer, but right now I would say linebacker. Because I just feel like they have a bunch of guys that could be okay, and no one to me is great. You know, so if you asked me who are the top three linebackers on the team, I would say maybe Ellerby, maybe Robertson, maybe Klein, you know. But then you've got Manti Te'o, you've got Stephon Anthony, you've got Nate Stupar, you've got Anzalone, so I'm not sure that I just named seven guys. You could pick three of any of those guys, and I'm not sure the drop off is significant from those three versus the other four. So, you know, if you lose two of those guys, it could be any of the seven I just named. And you still got five linebackers that are capable of being decent. So I don't think anyone's awesome, and I don't think anyone is god awful from those seven names I just mentioned. So, I feel like linebacker is set up pretty well.
And we have 90 seconds left. What's the position where they need good help? They need pristine help to have a shot this year.
Well, I mean, it's funny. I would have said offensive line was one of those positions besides linebacker, but now, you know, they've suffered the two injuries they could suffer. So, you know, Max Unger comes back and he's healthy and playing, then maybe they can suffer an injury again on the offensive line. But right now, they're pretty paper thin there. I would say receiver is pretty thin. You know, running back's another one that's pretty deep, obviously, with Peterson and Kamara, and they have Cadet, you know, back there. So I'd say running back's pretty deep, but, you know, receiver for me is pretty thin. You know, you trade away Brandon Cooks and, I don't know, you're kind of 2.5 deep. You know, if Ted Ginn ends up being pretty good, maybe you know, you're okay there. But I just feel like if something were to happen to Mike Thomas or Willie Snead, all of a sudden receiver feels super, super thin for them. Corner is another one, man. I mean, you know, Lattimore and Bro, I mean, they can't really afford to lose one of those guys.
So that's it. We're at the 10-minute mark. So we're done.